Hello, friends. This is Spencer Love, your host of Over the Top Rope on the Wind Column Sports Network. Don't forget, you can head to windcolumnsports.ca for all of your previews, reviews, and breaking news from the world of wrestling, be it your major promotions or from the great province of Alberta, Canada.
Awesome!
This is your main man, RJ, from the Ringside Rant, heard only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So go over and subscribe across all your major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, to hear every great interview I have every Monday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over and follow the show's page on Twitter at @_ringsiderant. Follow the network's page at BizWrestleNet. And, as always, embrace the vision.
Welcome to Double Down Wrestling Podcast with KJ, and as usual, we have Mike, the ref, slash pizza boy today in the building.
Well, this is a very special episode for us, folks. Episode 6. It's actually being held at Backbreaker Media World Headquarters in Edmonton here, so.
We are at the office for once today.
Well, I figured, you know, the office should be open at least once a year.
Open to the public.
All right, well, we got a little bit of fallout here. We got Hell in the Cell to talk about. We got Raw, SmackDown. We got the Mae Young Classic. And then, I guess, do we talk about the Mixed Match Challenge?
I think we have to, because by the time this comes out, it'll be on all the social medias, not just American.
Well, we're going to get into a rant about that. Let's save that for a little while here.
The disappointment on both of our faces yesterday was felt.
Oh, and the and throughout Canada, but we'll get to that later on here. So, I guess we'll start with Hell in the Cell.
Yes, I think we must.
Well, you're the one in charge, so.
Well, since it happened first this week, why the hell not? Haha. So, should we start with what happened first? SmackDown Women's Title happened first.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Let me just say, I predicted last week, I thought that this match would end in a double, I don't know, I think I said count out or DQ or something, I believe I predicted. I was wrong. Instead, I got a better, result. Becky finally got that title back. And let me just say, the thing that I loved the most, you weren't a fan of the match, but what I liked.
What?
Were you? Who told me they weren't a fan of the match then?
It wasn't me, that's for damn sure. Okay. I got Twitter to prove it.
Okay, somebody else we'll might have. Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of their SmackDown segment. Sorry, I'm like messing up.
Yeah, we'll get to
like
that.
There's like way too much that happened this week. Anyways, the ending. I really love that they had Becky basically. So Charlotte goes up to her and is basically going to raise her hand. And Becky raises the title and says, "You're not stealing my moment," and walks away. That is what made the entire match for me. I loved it. I loved it.
For me, it was the fact that it wasn't a definitive finish. It was the attempt at a spear turned into a quick roll-up, 1, 2, 3, and the title change. That means this feud is not over, and that's the best part of it right now.
I love it. I've never seen something like that before, especially out of the women. I don't think I've ever seen it with the women, but I loved how Becky countered it, into that finish. I loved it.
Yeah, and if you guys check out social media, I actually got a like on a tweet by Becky Lynch because WWE put out what was their best match of the night, and they gave four options and not the women's match, and I was pissed.
Yeah, you were. So was a lot of people, actually.
As far as I was concerned, this match was the match of the night. Very close was AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, except for the fact that we saw that just about a month ago at NXT TakeOver with Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler, but that's a different story for a different podcast. So
I loved it. I loved the finish. Still surprised that they had Becky finally win it like that.
Well,
at that day.
Now they're going to have a rematch at Super Showdown. So
that one can't end like cleanly, I don't think.
I think that's where you end up getting either your last woman's standing match or your submission match at Evolution. That's how you set it up.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, while we're here on this, why don't we just get to the SmackDown segment?
Okay, we'll just keep with talking about Becky and all the praises of Becky.
Basically, there are three major storylines and then a couple storylines after that. So we might as well intertwine them if they apply to the pay-per-view here. So,
but Mike, I have one thing to say.
Oh, God. Here we go.
One thing to say.
Oh, God.
I didn't want you to raise my hand. I didn't want you to put the title around me. I just want you to call me Queen, bitch. That has been going. I've watched that segment like at least 10 times since it happened yesterday. Sorry, this is recording on a Wednesday.
Well,
yesterday.
As far as I'm concerned, that part of the segment I didn't mind.
I loved it.
The part that got me upset is the fact that they tried to do what Becky did at SummerSlam and have Charlotte try to turn on Becky, and the crowd wasn't having the same reaction or even close.
It's weird because, sorry, Mike, but. Because Becky said that, and that's what led to Charlotte turning around and attacking her and, like, starting a fight, starting a brawl, whatever. I think people would have much rather it had ended with Becky calling her a bitch again. Just like that. Like, okay, peace out. But then at the same time, it shows Charlotte's fire. I like that. But I wasn't sure how I felt about the rest of it.
If she wanted to get the sympathy, she should have just walked out and let it build a little bit more. If that's what they're trying to go with right now. The other part that I got upset about is the wardrobe malfunction outside the ring. If you watch, as Charlotte went outside, as she was getting thrown to the outside, you notice something might have slipped a little bit. As she got thrown into the apron, you see her readjusting herself, and then she gets thrown over the announce table, and she's caught readjusting one more time there.
That's what always kind of confuses me about segments like this. You and I were talking about this yesterday, where you know for a fact that you're going to be brawling like that.
Why are you wearing heels like that? Why are you wearing an outfit like
with
that?
With that intensity, with that level of intensity, like it kind of, and it distracts away from the intensity of the segment and the brawl when people do stuff like that, I find. Don't get me wrong, I'm trying to keep positive this week because I find I've been really negative lately. Charlotte, you looked fantastic, but it did take away from the intensity of your guys' brawl. Sorry, girl, love you.
Oh, absolutely it did. And don't get me wrong, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to this whole thing, I can sum it up in one simple term. This is going to be the best feud of the year in terms of matches in the ring and the complete botch of everything done outside of it, as far as I'm concerned.
I dig it because I actually watched SmackDown live yesterday instead of PVRing it because I wanted to see what Becky did. And let me just say, I'm really excited that for the last few weeks, her and Charlotte have had the main event slot, haven't they? Well, for sure the last 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, they had it for, I believe, the last 2 out of 3 weeks for sure.
Yeah, and that really excites me because sometimes they don't do that as often. They only give them like once a month or like, but I feel like they've done a really good job, those two girls, creating that intensity that people want to see what they're going to do next. And I'll give Becky props. She has taken that ball and she has run with it. And Charlotte is letting her, not in like a passive way, but like she's letting Becky do what Becky does. And I don't know if it's just because those two have great chemistry or it's actually the writers. I don't know. But I like what they're doing because it seems genuine, doesn't it?
In a lot of senses, yes. Where they're trying to go with the actions around the dialogue, I don't know for sure. It looks like to me, that attack by Charlotte on Tuesday was just absolutely not necessary.
Just kind of like out of the... Well, I don't want to say out of character because it's not out of character.
Yeah,
it's,
actually, I believe it would be out of character.
For the current Charlotte, yeah.
If she's the queen and she's the one in charge, she's the one who's supposed to have the composure. And then when you get to the matchup, she's supposed to be the one to lose control. This is Becky's the one who's supposed to lose control. Sorry. This is sort of like the attack that Samoa Joe is doing on AJ Styles right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring up too much on the men's side, but
no, that
it's completely clear that Joe made it very apparent that he wants AJ to lose his cool because that's when he loses his title.
I thought it was really weird, though, when Becky did her like whole call me a queen, you bitch, blah, blah, blah thing, how when she said, you can call me queen, Charlotte kind of giggled, turned around, and that she was going to walk away, it seemed. And all of a sudden, when Becky said, bitch, that's what set her off. That's what I find kind of confusing, because all of a sudden she's just like, bitch, turn around, attacks. Like, what? I found that a little weird. But besides that, the delivery on Becky's part was amazing.
Oh, absolutely. And I can't wait to see what going forward out of this. You got to remember, Super Showdown isn't that far away. It's only 3 weeks.
Yeah, so. something like that, like 2.5 weeks.
The most confusing part about Raw this week is the fact they're trying to advertise 3 shows in 1 show.
Yeah, it was really hard to follow for me. I had a really hard time figuring out what was going on at Raw this week. But, okay, Hell in a Cell.
I will say this. Hold on. Before we finish that, at least we only have to worry about covering 2.
For
the 2 shows in the next upcoming month, because Crown Jewel is not a men's show.
Keith, first of all, I know this isn't to do with the women, but I just want to say that sounds like the dumbest name. Crown Jewels. Like, it sounds really dumb. I'm sorry.
Well, then we don't have to have the women there with no Crown Jewels. So.
Like, what are they winning? Crown Jewels? Is that what their thing is? Their winnings are Crown Jewels?
Let's just say the originality is starting to run out when you have had so many different pay-per-view
Why
names,
don't they
so.
Fight for Braun's title he won, that belt? Isn't it a title belt he won, or is it just like a trophy thing he won?
I'm pretty sure it's just a trophy, but I think they
have brought in Crown Jewels.
That's what happens when you go to Saudi Arabia and have matches.
Ugh.
Strange things happen.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes no sense. Okay. Back to the ladies. Hell in a Cell.
You want to go mixed? The mixed tag, or do you want to go?
Hell in a Cell
or the Raw one?
Let's do mixed first.
I'm pretty sure you called this one.
Oh, the Miz and Maryse?
Yeah,
I did. So did Spencer, I think.
Yeah. Shout out to Spencer Love, who's on special assignment tonight. So.
Yeah, bye, Spencer. More pizza for me. Ha ha ha. I don't really have anything to say much, if I'm honest, about this match.
Well, frankly, this match carries on the feud with Daniel Bryan, The Miz. The way that it was finished with Maryse pinning Brie actually fits out perfectly for the whole scenario, because Daniel Bryan doesn't get his revenge on The Miz, and that way they can keep this feud going for a little bit longer. So they didn't have to play much of a role, but they played the role they needed to.
Brie wasn't on SmackDown, though, was she? Did I forget that, or am I losing my mind? She wasn't on SmackDown this week,
I think she was there. I'll be honest, I didn't get a chance to see most of SmackDown. I saw about half of it.
I don't think she was. I don't know. No, she wasn't. Oh, God.
So the level of botch really was like, a lot less?
Well, no, because I think Maryse and Miz were calling out Daniel. And, like, but kind of dissing Brie, I think, is what happened. Oh, my God. My memory is so bad, guys. I say this all the time. Yeah, she wasn't there. I'm just going to go with she wasn't there. But Maryse and The Miz, their outfits looked so cool. I'm sorry. I loved them. When I saw Maryse standing there and she was just had those glasses on, it made the entire match already for me. The outfits, they looked fantastic. It did the job, literally, but figuratively also.
I'm pretty sure you can find those glasses at the Deadmonton store, proud sponsor of MPW. But
I was going to say they were extra props from the last Willy Wonka movie.
That very well could be, too. So
yeah, they talked to Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp sent them some.
I could see that happening.
The Miz is like in Hollywood now.
The one thing I enjoy the most about this right now is it looks like Brie and Maryse are going to be taken out of this feud now. They've had their little two little segments when it comes to it, and now Brie is involved in a different picture, which we'll get to here in just a moment.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, you need to keep Brie, I don't like saying one-track minded, but keep her because the last few weeks she's been bouncing back and forth, and it's been really kind of hard to find what the hell that girl is doing. Like, it, I don't know how to word it properly, but she's just been doing a lot. So when now that she's here, she can focus, the Rhonda and Nikki tag match they have in Australia coming up. So at least then we know, okay, that's where they're building to now, so we're not going to be worried about her jumping off and fighting Maryse next week again, you know?
Well,
for the most part.
The biggest thing is when you stretch yourself too thin, you open yourself up to mistakes.
Well,
and that's, well, Brie Botch is bad enough as is when it comes to certain spots at certain times. But now that she's focused on this one situation, the six-man tag, I think it might turn out to be a lot better than a lot of people expect. So,
well, I think by that match, because let's face it, looking at the talent in the match, we can already name probably the two girls that are going to be running that match. It's probably going to be Nikki and Ruby based on ability and
experience.
I guess veteran, yeah. I was going to say veteranness, but that is not a word, but vet status. So you can look at it like that. And if you judge by their singles match, I think last week. Yes, last week. I think it'll be a great match. I can already tell you probably what's going to happen, but we'll get closer to that when it gets closer to the date. But
we got two more weeks and we're going to have a little less stuff to cover probably coming up in the next few weeks here. So.
Well, who knows? This mixed match challenge is taking up some time now. Love it, though.
Not yet. Not yet.
Well, not yet for us Canadians or the rest of the world. Sorry. Not if you're not American, you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, pretty much. But anyway, let's move on to the Raw Women's Championship match.
You give your thoughts first.
To me, this was a pretty solid match. If you looked at the last match that these two had at SummerSlam, it was a complete squash. Let's not even kid ourselves. It was it was a runaway train. This one wasn't. It was
a little bit more psychology.
Alexa taking advantage of some bruised ribs and throwing in a little bit of submission work on her own, showing that she's adapted and developed. And honestly, this to me puts Alexa in a lot stronger position than she was at the end of SummerSlam.
I didn't hate it. I mean, like I said, I'm trying to be positive. Alexa did her job, literally and figuratively. Again, I'm going to say that. But she made Rhonda look good. And they told a story. And she's out of the title picture now, I guess. And she's injured. So we'll see what's going to happen there. But
well, you could see what happened on Monday when, let's stick with the title picture here.
Yeah.
And you had Ronda Rousey opening up a open challenge.
I'm curious if they're going to roll with a Ruby versus Ronda thing for the next few weeks. And then it's supposedly, no spoilers, to lead to Rhonda and Nikki when Nikki finally kind of turns heel or whatever she's supposed to be doing. So I think that's great because Ruby could carry a mop to a great match. Not that I'm saying Rhonda's a mop, but I'm just Ruby's great. And why not put Rhonda with a vet who can make her look fabulous? And Ruby's got charisma all over. So,
well, frankly, I think this segment tonight was set up for anybody who is not on social media, which, let's face it, there's nobody that's not on social media, but
for the most part,
you basically had Rhonda having the open challenge, Natalya quote unquote answering it, getting laid out by the Riot Squad. The Riot Squad comes in, starts attacking Rhonda, and then the Bella Twins come in for the save. Like, this is like elementary booking 101 to set up this six-man tag. So the next 2 weeks, you're probably going to get a couple tag matches involving two out of the three of these teams leading into
just more protection of Rhonda and her greenness.
And leading into Super Showdown, where either you have Nikki Bree and Ronda get the victory and then Nikki and Bree turn on her after, or you have it literally during the match. One of the two, if you ask me. But that'll be a little bit more apparent once we get close to the show. But we have 2 more weeks to discuss that. So
yeah, I just got to sing the praises of Ruby because lately she's been killing it. So,
oh, absolutely.
So is Sarah Logan. She's been killing it too. But Ruby just, I always say it because I wish I would have become a fan of hers a while ago. But just in the last 2 months, she's caught my eye and I'm obsessed. Like watching all of her matches. Ugh, she's so good. Can't even deal.
Oh, trust me. Seeing Crazy Mary Dobson back in the indies, that was a treat.
And
the conversion that she's made now into the Sarah Logan character.
Did I say Sarah Logan or Ruby Riott?
You said both.
Actually. Oh, sorry. I love them both. And I want to also say Liv has really improved since I saw her towards the end of her NXT career, right before her call up. She seems completely different. I don't know if it's because she's been having matches all the time now. Or she's been with Ruby and Sarah now more, these like experienced vets, but she looks great. Like she looks a lot better than she did in NXT. Just the experience, she looks great. And I really hope those three finally get their big moment at Super Showdown.
Well, 60,000 people should do it.
I hope so. Like they deserve it. They've been working their butts off and just making everybody look good. And they make me want to watch them. Because I just find them really interesting. So I hope they get their moment. I think, that's a few weeks away, but I just hope they get their moment. They deserve it.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's this time here, folks. We need to preface this about this will be the Sasha Banks moment of the podcast. It seems we have one that comes up every show here.
Poor girl.
You had Dana Brooke come out and once again challenge Bailey, who is accompanied by Sasha.
And children from Connor's Cure. Was it Connor's Cure or the Child's Hospital?
One of
little children that are sick. It was adorable. Super cute. But, I can't say it, but I'm going to say it. What the hell are they doing with Sasha and Bailey?
Basically, they are the mid-card gatekeepers right now.
I just don't get it because it's they're barely even mid-carders.
Well, they make
but they're not jobbers, but they're not mid-carders either.
They make sure that the jobbers don't win, and they make sure that the top tiers on the card don't lose. That's pretty much where they're in the position right now, and it sucks.
It sucks because not just for them, but for us, because I feel like they're just putting them out there for the sake of putting them out there when I feel like they could have made this Dana Brooke storyline super interesting, but they made it so lackluster that I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like they could have made this look good. The three girls, like they could have made Dana look good. I get where they're going with it, but not really at the same time. All I'm saying is that they seem to be focusing on teams lately. So I really hope that my dream of having the women's tag titles comes true. Especially since Naomi, we'll get to that, but Naomi and Asuka seem to be a little bit of a team now. You got the Iconics, you got the Riott Squad, all these teams. So I really hope that it's going to lead to that, and that's why they haven't split Sasha and Bailey up yet. Because in my mind, with their feud, I was reading a thing on this, like the other day, I can't remember who posted it, I think it was Cage Side something or other. Anyways, they were just posting about why Sasha and Bailey haven't had pay-per-view matches this year. And I was thinking about their feud, quote-unquote, they had in the summer before they became friends again. And I'm like, the only reason I could think that they didn't have a blow-off and they didn't, I guess, put an exclamation point on this feud / psychology sessions they had or whatever, like, is the fact that they are going to do the tag titles. I hope they do. But at the same time, it seems like they can really only focus on one storyline at a time. And I really have a fear that those tag titles would be, I don't want to say, okay, titles are almost a prop they pretty much are in wrestling, but I don't want them to become a prop that are never addressed. I don't want what happened to the TNA women's tag team titles happen to the WWE women's tag titles. And that is my biggest fear about why I don't want it to come in, but I really want them to come in because I love tag team wrestling.
Now, here's the question I got for you.
Okay.
Not having the blow-off match is fine, but what if they both turn heel at one point here for the fact that they are being stuck in this position for so long?
I think it would be really interesting because if Sasha and Bayley were both to turn heel at the exact same time together, I think Sasha, sorry, I need to get my words correct here. I think that it makes sense because you look at if Bayley were to turn heel, like full on heel, like get rid of all the colors in her outfit, whatever, it makes more sense for her to do it with Sasha than with anybody else or by herself. Because you look at the intensity Bayley has against Sasha and with Sasha, they could make it work. And I think they could be so badass. So badass.
Oh, I agree. Personally, I think the only reason they haven't pulled the trigger on this yet is because you have the exact same thing happening with somebody on the other brand going through this badass heel change that the fans are going to get right behind. And you know,
Becky and Charlotte?
Well, Becky in particular.
Well, yeah.
Have Sasha and Bayley turn heel, you're going to have most of that crowd cheer for them for the fact that, yeah, they're getting the push that they deserve. I'm sure you'll be doing that.
I think that you don't need to turn like the stereotypical heel for it, but I think that you can show a different intensity. Like what they keep calling Becky's right now is that stone cold intensity that she's showing right now, because she hasn't really done anything that would make her dirty or like a heel. Well, besides that, but like you look at Bayley calling Sasha, what did she say? You ain't shit. That doesn't make you a heel. It makes you intense. And Becky right now, I wouldn't call her a heel. Maybe something she does, it's heel mannerisms. But her intensity is different than her straight fire Becky intensity. It's different. So you could do the same thing with Sasha Bayley, and it can lead to something, because if I'm honest, I've been thinking about it lately, the four horsewomen thing. I don't think you could make WWE's four horsewomen the faces, if that makes any sense, because they want Ronda to be this like big, they want her to be the face of everything and they want people to cheer for her, right? Which she is getting. I don't think they could do it. I don't think either team needs to be a definite heel team and then the face team. It would be really hard to imagine Shayna being a face, you know what I mean? But I think both teams could be the exact same intensity and people will decide who they're going to cheer for. You know what I mean? Like, or boo or whatever. I don't know.
I think we're starting to blur the lines a little bit between WWE fandom and UFC fandom, because that's pretty much what we're looking at here. When you're dealing with the UFC, you're dealing with guys and girls, just they get in the ring and then people just decide who they're going to cheer for.
Yeah.
There's no real good guys. There's no real bad guys. There's just guys.
Yes.
Except for John Jones, but that's a different story after today. I don't want to get into that right now because this podcast will go 4 hours long. With saying that, I could see the rivalry happening, but I think they're going to take their time on it.
I think there's just so much that it seems like they want to do with Ronda right now that I don't think that it's going to – they would just have to do it properly. I don't think they'll ever do it as properly as people think they want them to do it, but – I think once the woman's, if they ever come into it, because we're talking about it right now, if they ever bring those tag team titles in, they are going to be floating titles. They have to be. There's not enough women unless they do their own show type deal. I remember Parrish, when he was on, shout out, he mentioned that they should have a similar kind of show or a time slot dedicated to the women of the WWE. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm on the fence. I don't think I like it. But those titles need to be floating. I don't know if they should be floating to NXT. I think they should float all over, so all three brands, and maybe eventually when UK is established, throw them in there too, make it all four. I think that would be a lot easier, because I don't think having all four of those girls on one brand, it might be a great idea, don't get me wrong, but then it would almost feel, I don't want to, like, my bias is coming out towards those four girls right now as I'm talking, but having all four of them on the same brand right now, it would feel like they are tipping the scales way too heavy on one brand and not the other. Like, I don't know if that's just my Kayla bias right now, my KJ bias, but if those tag titles are floating, and let's just say Sasha and Bayley, because it seems like those two are going to win them eventually, they could float around. That leads to something with Becky and Charlotte, you know?
Personally, I think these might end up being a pay-per-view only title, where you can only defend it on the pay-per-views where both brands are present. So it would Maybe. Help keep things separated a little bit. You could have the champions go back and forth in promo a little bit, but other than that, have it separate and have it only defended on the pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Probably that would be the only way it would make sense in any way here. But we can talk about that later on, because apparently, if you read some spoilers, which might be true or not, there might be some coming up at Evolution, which means we're going to have a couple weeks here before we're going to have to worry about it. So let's... Oh, sorry. Let me correct myself here. I have to finish off a segment properly. This has now been your Sasha Banks rant of the show.
It wasn't even really a rant. It was more just like, for your consideration.
Yeah, well...
Women's tag team titles. Like I said, I'm still on the fence about it. But, I mean, as long as they're still on TV, that's a positive thing. But, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. There's just so much going on at once that I just don't even know what to say about it.
For those who want to send their concerns and well wishes in regards to said rant, please send them to Kayla Jamies on Twitter.
Yes, please bring your discussion to me. And we could maybe talk about our favorite Four Horsewomen matches. Like I said, no bias, but there's total bias. I love those girls.
Well, let's move on to our last match on Raw and the return of Nia Jax, who teamed up with Ember Moon.
See, this is why you're here, Mike, because I forget about this stuff.
Well,
that's another tag team. Do you think that's another tag team right there, Ember and Nia?
Possibly, but I think this was more about getting the hometown girl over as they were taking on Alicia Fox and Mickey James in Dallas. So...
Yeah, Ember's home moon.
Yeah.
Her home moon.
Well, it could have been Lacey Lane's Jaden Moon. Remember that?
God. Okay. Oh, hometown, not home moon. Oh, my God. What's wrong with me? Anyways.
Wow, this has been an interesting podcast already.
Good Lord. I'm just mumbling all over my words today. Yeah, I think it's great to see Nia back. Truthfully and honestly, I missed her. When I saw her, I was like, okay, I'm happy to see you again.
I'm glad to see she's as smooth as she is in the ring now. There were complaints about how some of the moves that she was giving out were a little over...
Stiff?
Stiff would be one way to put it, but unsafe is more a word that I was hearing.
Okay.
And now things have been cleaned up, and it appears that everything's running smooth, so...
Because it's been, like, what, 3 months since we've seen her?
Somewhere around there. Right after she lost to Ron... She
cashed in. Alexa cashed in.
After the rematch from the cash in, so.
Oh, yes, correct. Okay, yeah, she hasn't been on since. Okay.
Yeah, so.
I like her as a face. I'll be honest, I think it's refreshing because she was a heel for basically her entire WWE/NXT run. I like her as a face. It's refreshing. Even though it's frustrating because a lot of her matches are David versus Goliath matches because she is bigger. I would like to see her against a bigger opponent to see what she can do.
I'll put it this way to you. Andre the Giant was not a heel until the last few years of his career when he hooked up with Bobby Heenan. So throughout his career, he was the big baby face taking on all comers. So, as far as I'm concerned, Nia could stay face for a very long time and just be that dominant element.
And she's got the charisma, like the personality as well for it. I really like her, especially I don't really watch Total Divas, but sometimes you see clips on Twitter and stuff, and she seems so funny, like I want to be your friend type girl, right? So I look at that, and I just would really like to see what she could legit like do in a ring. Like I want to see her against, I don't know, let's just throw it out there, Rhea Ripley. Someone that's around the same size and strength as her, because no offense, the biggest girl on both rosters right now is probably, besides Nia, of course, is probably what, Charlotte?
I'd say Charlotte or Nikki.
Nikki? She is not big. I am bigger than her.
Well, strength-wise, it'd probably be about as close as you're going to get.
I'd probably say...
But Charlotte would be the A1 answer to that.
Yeah, in terms of... Because Charlotte's like, what, 6 foot? I think she's 6 foot, 5'11", six foot. So she's pretty much the biggest girl besides Nia, and the strongest. So I would just want to see Nia go against an opponent that you don't need to necessarily blur the lines for, you know, like you're like, I could see them being even in a fight. Because no offense, sorry, Mike, no offense. When Alexa is going all heel on Nia, I'm like, this seems so unrealistic. Love you, Alexa, but still.
Well, for me, as far as I'm concerned, it all depends on what the plans are for Nia Jax. If she starts talking about titles and wanting to push for the Raw Women's Championship, then I don't know how well a face it's going to be for her to be a face here. Because frankly, she should be as dominant as you would expect her to be.
I'm a little confused though. Because on the Mixed Match Challenge, I know we'll get to that in a sec, but we're talking about Ember and Nia right now. It seemed like Ember was a little bit on the verge of heelish, let's just say. And I listened to her, watched her promo with Braun as well. And I was like, whoa, this girl seems a little bit different than her Raw aura. So I posed this question. I'm like, I would... Because I don't think Nia should go back into the title picture until Alexa / Nia or Ronda are gone. I think it'll be a very, 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 very long time till Ronda's out of that title picture, though. But I think I would really like to see Ember and Nia go at it. I don't think that's... Even though Ember is a little shorter, I don't think it's completely out of the possibility that she could give Nia a good match.
I think it would be a very good match. Personally, when it comes to Nia, I don't think she should be in the title picture for a very long time.
No.
And use it as, I don't want a title shot right now.
I also think, just to throw things, you know, in the last, 3 months? Probably even longer than that, but officially the last 3 months, Raw has gained 3 new women. Ronda has been on almost every Raw, just about. Or has been on every Raw. And now we have the Bella Twins. Why don't we throw Nia on SmackDown now?
They aren't going to make any changes like that for a while. You know,
I wouldn't be completely against it. But at the same time, I'm like, what the hell are they going to do with her? Because it felt like she just feuded with Charlotte before she left for SmackDown.
You also have to remember, we do have Survivor Series coming up. And they got to that 5-on-5. That's the fourth show in the horizon that we'll be looking at here after Evolution.
God, it's all coming up so fast, all these shows.
Oh, after Evolution, Crown Jewel, that week. It's going to be a rather... That week's going to be a rather busy week.
Too much going on. I can't keep up.
Well, you got two pay-per-views that week, plus the epic MPW Riptributions that Saturday, so...
Oh, God.
It's going to be absolutely insane.
Okay, before we go to Mae Young.
Nope, we still got SmackDown.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying we need to talk about SmackDown.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like really excited to talk about Mae Young. Anyways, what else happened on SmackDown? We're done Raw, right? Was that 3 segments?
Yep, that's okay, the 3 segments on Raw. Well, we went through the main event one already. So let's
go.
And we touched on the Maryse and Brie Bella.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
Thank you very much, but don't come back kind of deal.
Yeah, it's like we're done. We don't need you guys anymore. Sorry, Maryse, love you, but I'd rather see you against someone that's not Brie.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What did you think of the Iconics dance moves?
Mike, you know I love the Iconics. They can do no wrong in my eyes. I love them.
Honestly, I thought the dance moves weren't that bad.
I love them. Anything they do, even if it's horrific, I love it. So I love them. It's horrific.
That's what
horrific. I love them. I think they're great. They make SmackDown so interesting for me. And if Bayley and Sasha were not a team right now and they were feuding, I would want the Iconics to be the first tag team champs. I'm just going to put that out there. And that's a dream match of mine, actually. The Boston Hug and then the Iconics. Dream match. Just let them go. Give them 20 minutes. Go. Have fun. I want to see it.
Well, then, speaking of weird alliances getting together here.
Oh, God, I love them, too. Just so weird.
Asuka and Naomi?
Yeah. I love it, though. But so weird.
Just because... Apparently, it's because Asuka's hair matches the glow.
I died, though. Okay, so when Asuka made her entrance, Naomi was... I can't even say it because it made me laugh so hard. Because it was just so funny, but odd. Anyways, when Naomi's just sitting there on the ramp in her fuzzy jacket, and she's just waiting for Asuka to come out, and I just am giggling. I don't know. Did you notice that? It was funny. And then they kind of posed together like a tag team. I'm like, oh, new tag team.
Naomi was trying to do the Asuka dance.
Yeah, some version of it, some weird thing. I thought it was hilarious. This is another thing that poses me to ask the question about the tag team thing, because they're all of a sudden putting them together. I get that the Iconics have been making Naomi's life miserable lately, but I think it's a weird combination, but at the same time, I think it's really cool. It gives them both something to do, and they're both so out there, Naomi and Asuka, that I think it's not out of the realm that they could make a great tag team.
And I think that these two could ham it up to the point where they could act like heels down in Australia when it's obvious that the Iconics are going to get the home court advantage. Yeah. When it comes to Super Showdown coming up October 6th.
I think the crowd is going to be into that match, but we all know who they're going to favor. I think that match is just going to be... I want to say a shit show, but not in a bad way. It's just going to be a shit show in the fact that there's going to be chants everywhere. And no matter what the match looks like, it's going to be an entertaining, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes they have, so...
Well, all I can say is I hope the Super Showdown doesn't end up being like the greatest Royal Rumble ever, where it's like a cricket match where it goes on for about 8 hours.
Oh, the entire show, just... I was going to say the Iconics match? What?
Well, no, they could go an hour if that's the case.
They could if they just let them stand there and chant Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. No, I really hope that match is great because I just find the dynamics hilarious. But no bias here, but there's bias.
Oh, either way, I think that the Iconics are highly underrated. They've been thrown into a role that gives them a tough route right now.
Yes.
But we know what kind of athletes they are. I know personally for the fact that Peyton Royce has wrestled up here.
Yes,
in Edmonton, starting up. Graduate of the Lance Storm Training
Academy. Not a long
time
ago either.
Yeah.
I think that their personalities and their charisma are so big and loud that it overshadows their wrestling abilities. And not in a bad way. But I think people only see that sometimes. And they think, oh, they're, like, not that great or whatever. And I'm like, no, they're fantastic in the ring. Like, you look at some of Peyton's stuff she did with Asuka in NXT, or even against, like, Nikki down there as well. Like, it's really – she's really good. And even Billy, like, some of these matches she had against Charlotte and stuff, I'm like, she's so good. But the fact that they're – like I said, their charisma is so loud – that's what you notice first, and then they're wrestling second, I find. It's not a downfall by any means, because they're entertaining for me. But yeah, I think they're super underrated in the ring because of that reason.
Absolutely. So I can't wait to see what's going to happen October 6th at the Super Showdown with them.
Yeah.
And then you know what? All kitty by the door of what's going to happen over at Evolution. So,
yeah, who knows what's happening there?
We're good. Those 3 weeks is starting on Canadian Thanksgiving are going to be three very interesting weeks going into Evolution, how they set it up.
Well, so. I was going to say, like, they haven't really made any matches besides none, actually.
Well, no, they made
Alexa. What have they mad? They made?
They made Alexa and Trish as well.
Oh, yes, and Lita and Mickey.
And Lita and Mickey, yeah.
And then the winner of May, or sorry, the finalists of Mae Young, and then the winner of something versus the NXT Women's Champ?
That was one of those rumored matches on that.
Oh, that was rumored. That was, okay.
The winner of a 20-person battle royal faces Kairi Sane for the NXT Championship.
But regardless, she's going to be in a title match anyway, so we know that's a match. And then the UK Women's title is going to be there.
The UK, the SmackDown, the Raw.
So it's all going to be there, but we don't know in what form. I think that they're doing a really crappy job building to it.
I think the best thing we can do right now is the thing that WWE should do right now and focus on what's next, not what's after that. So
true. I think now that Hell in a Cell is over, they have no option. Well, they have options.
Well, they got to deal with Super Showdown first. So let's get that out of the way, and then we can start.
I think anything regarding those girls that are at Super Showdown, they need to start making matches for. Because I heard that Becky and Charlotte are they wrestling at Super Showdown?
Yes, they just announced that this week.
Okay, so they're there. We don't have to worry about it. Build towards those matches.
Yeah. They might still have matches at Super Showdown yet. We don't know. So.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they keep adding stuff to it.
Let's just hold our horses and wait till we...
hold your horses, Kayla. I think too far ahead.
But I think that's going to wrap a bow up on the WWE portion of this week.
It is. Yeah.
I think we're going to take a little quick commercial break here. And then when we come back, we're going to go Mae Young Classic.
Mae Young Classic.
Okay, we'll be right back.
If you like podcasts and you are listening to our Backbreaker Media, then you should listen to me, Chris Parrish.
And myself, Manoyan.
And the Sounds of Struggle. Because we are literally the most entertaining duo you'll ever come across in Western Canadian wrestling, baby.
We talk about things like wrestling.
And other sports we like.
Like wrestling.
But we won't talk about other sports that we don't like because it's not that kind of podcast.
Like wrestling.
I mean, we like hockey.
And wrestling.
And we like football.
And wrestling.
And we also like to drink beer.
While wrestling.
Well, not while wrestling, but while watching wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to get into a conversation with Maniac and Chris Parrish, then you need to tune into the Sounds of Struggle live on Backbreaker Media.
Every Thursday.
That's when we hope to draw, but sometimes Mike Malawaini doesn't do his job right.
Or we're too drunk to forget.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah.
He can bleep out the swear word because we weren't supposed to do that.
Oh,
but
I'll try not to swear. I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's face it. The two of us, we're real.
And spectacular.
And we're a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
We're also struggle-licious.
That we are.
That was kind of like you're supposed to be a struggle-licious.
Oh, sorry, I'm drunk.
If you don't want to listen to us, then no. You're stupid because we're entertaining. And if you want to listen to us, then come listen to us on Backbreaker Media.
Yeah. Later,
later, bitches.
All right, folks, we're back. Leading the show again because, you know, KJ's always on her phone and, you know.
What are you talking about? Someone named not KJ had to go pee, so not me. It was Mike. Spoiler alert.
I come back and you're in there diving up all these contacts and all these people trying to get a hold of you.
Yeah, today was really bad. You know it's getting to show weekend when people are messaging you nonstop.
Yeah, whew. Pretty much.
Madness. I have like a lot of wrestling to do this weekend, so got to take care of all those matches, you know?
Well, we'll make sure we plug all those here coming up.
Yeah.
But speaking of matches, we got to talk about...
Woo! Do you want to talk about a little bit about the
you
mixed
know
match?
Let's get through the bad before we get to the good.
So
the mixed match challenge.
Oh, you want to talk about mixed match? All right.
You're going to go first? Go
yes.
Right ahead.
Yeah, I am thoroughly upset that we have to wait 2 days in the rest of the world. That's, you know. Okay, we're Canadian, if people didn't know that. The backbreaker medias were Canadian. So we get to watch it on Thursdays while the Americans get to watch it on Tuesdays. So by the time Thursday rolls around, we're spoiled galore all over the social medias. I get it. But at the same time, it's really sad because I want to watch it with everybody else. And live. Like I said, I want to watch it live, man.
You done?
Go ahead, Mike. Go ahead. You give us your thoughts.
Oh, this is not going to be pretty. All right. WWE has been at the forefront of digital communication for the past, since 1985. They've been the head of communication.
It's a long time.
They were the first ones to come up with pay-per-view, with closed circuit.
Damn.
I'm one of the proud guys that can say that I watched WrestleMania 3 on a scrambled signal way back when, because we managed to get our satellite dish just in the right area.
Do you know what I'm going to say about it?
You going to talk about how old I am? Go right ahead.
I was going to say I was nowhere near born yet.
Yes, I understand that.
I wasn't born for another, oh God, 10 years?
Shut up.
10 years?
You have been
10 some years?
You've been at the forefront.
Since before KJ was born. Okay, go ahead. Keep going, Mike.
When the WWE Network was formed, you guys were ahead of the curve when you were talking about social media. Even though Tout ended up being a massacre, you guys were at least ahead of the curve when you got to that, moving on to Snapchat, Twitter. You guys have always rocked the social media. But the thing is, you've always rocked the social media so everybody could be connected.
I don't feel connected. Do you feel connected?
This is a complete drop of the ball by somebody who is not listening and not looking out for their product. Whoever was in charge of signing this contract with Facebook for this dropped the ball, bounced it, and threw it back up again, because the amount of revenue you could be gaining off this from worldwide distribution, whether it be on YouTube, YouTube Red, which is now starting to become part of Canada, or even, how about a Netflix series?
Oh. Twitch. That would be really cool.
I'm sorry, but Impact Wrestling is ahead of WWE when it comes to their interactive content right now at this point. You look at the Twitch channel, and that's all you need to sum up. Very important matches. If you guys want to see a hell of a card, check out the MediaCon TNA UK show from last weekend. Absolutely phenomenal. If you love blood and guts, and I know KJ does, Sammy Callahan versus Jimmy Havoc and a barbed wire baseball match.
Ugh, gross.
That's just an example of what they have there.
Got the chills.
You got technical wrestling. You got either way. I run my own video on demand channel, and I know how hard it is to keep things maintained and keep things exciting for people. WWE should have this wrapped up, but by limiting the number of people that are available to access your product, you are shooting your own product in the foot.
My question, even if, say, okay, I'm not as upset about, yes, I'm kind of sad about that because we can't watch it live, but why does it take 2 full days for them to put it up on the network?
Oh, this one I got a little bit more of an idea, because I actually have this situation right now with one of the promotions that I provide footage for on Backbreaker VOD. In certain contracts, it does state that you have to allow the original supplier or provider of a program to have access to the video and be exclusive rights to that video before you put it up on any other distribution channels.
So people or sorry, people, but Facebook basically wants people to rewatch the Mixed Match Challenge on Facebook before they can watch it on the network.
Essentially, they probably said, yeah, you got to give us 48 hours.
Okay. Okay.
This year, rather than it being up at 10 a.m., which would have been 36 hours following the match, it is now 47 and a half hours. I checked on the network because we were actually going to review the match before we started because we thought I'd be throwing it up on the network maybe a little sooner. 9:35 Eastern time, which is 7:30 our time here in Alberta, which is approximately 47 and a half hours from when it actually aired.
Okay, so last year's Mixed Match Challenge, I really loved it. I thought it was entertaining as hell. So when we found this out, I was a little bummed. Mostly, yeah, because by the time you get to it, let's just say here in Canada because we're Canadian. So you get it here in Canada, you already know what happens. You've basically seen the match all over online being spoiled by Twitter and such. Do I want to go log into the network after? Not really. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of sucks. I get why they would do it. Facebook wants to promote their watch thing they got going on. We don't have it in Canada, so I don't even know what the hell it is. But I get it, business standpoint, whatever. But let's just look at it this way. America is only a very, very small fraction of your viewership. Very small fraction actually, compared to the rest of the world. Is it small?
Based on the facts, well, here's a couple contradictory points that made people unclear whether they were going to do the Mixed Match Challenge again. America accounts for approximately 70% of all network subscriptions.
Oh, well, subscriptions, so, though. Yeah.
Essentially, they're stuff like this, stuff like 205 and all that. That's all meant for the upper knowledgeable wrestling fan.
That has a subscription, yeah.
The Mixed Match Challenge is maybe a way that people will tune in just to see something different, like the casual fan. This basically goes back to my last Blown Call show where I had Jonah Condro on, where we talked about how to bring in the casual fan.
Yeah.
This is a way you bring in a casual fan. A different attraction like this. But the other thing is they were upset about the number of views that they actually had on their product was way down from their normal product. No freaking kidding if you can't access it everywhere.
See, okay, now that you say it that way, that my mind has changed completely in the sense that I don't know what I was thinking, but when we're going off of that, off the subscriptions. So then, yeah, you're really only targeting your American audience in that sense. I think here also in Canada, the hardest part about getting the network subscription is that here in Canada, you can't just go buy it like you would buy Netflix. You have to have a cable provider to get the network in general. That was why I don't have it to this day, is because I don't watch TV. Until I moved back home, I have it from that way. But when I was gone, I didn't have cable because I wasn't home. So that's one of the biggest downfalls, I think, especially being Canadian, is that we have to have the cable provider.
For those in America that are listening to this podcast, and I know there are a ton of you, along with, I believe it's 18 other countries around the world. You are rather popular, KJ.
Oh.
We're going to have...
Everybody, please message me. And I want to speak to whoever you are. If you're not Canadian, please message me. I would like to speak with you. Friendly.
Well, the Canadian government requires that anything dealing with a channel or service has to have basis throughout one of our service providers. Originally, it was Rogers Cable in Canada, and then it moved on to some other providers. Now, pretty much every TV provider allows you to access the WWE Network. But I know, for example, I'm on TELUS, and it's an actual channel for us. Yeah. I believe that's the way it is for most other locations as well. In the States, it's straight to the website where you do have a schedule of roaming events on there, but that roaming schedule for us is literally you can push a channel number and you will get the WWE Network. If you want to see anything outside of that, you have to log into the website and go just like all the other Americans do. So,
yeah, that's another thing. PlayStation. I have a PS4. They need to come up with like an app or something for that network so I can watch it on my PlayStation.
Well, that's why you need an Xbox. But
I still have it, but I'm outdated. I have a 360 now. I still have my 360.
Yeah, but trade in your PS4.
No, I love my PS4.
Aren't they like good for paperweights and that's about it?
Well, I mean, no. My GameCube, maybe, because I don't use it as much.
Okay.
We're off track. Mae Young.
I took this one off track.
Mixed Young. Oh, my God, Mike, it's happening again. Mixed Match Challenge.
I think we're done on the Mixed Match Challenge.
Like I said before, the biggest downfall is that we get spoiled. I've seen the results. I've seen some of the things that have happened. I watched Natty and Kevin's promo after their match, and I'm starting to like them as a duo way more than I anticipated.
Now here's the question, and
yeah,
I'll see. Maybe I could throw this up as a poll for our Twitter clan. But do you want to review these matches after up on the network, even though they're going to be a week late on Double Down?
Well, we could just talk about our thoughts.
Well, that's normally what reviewing shows are.
Well, yeah, but like we could just, because we haven't seen the matches in full. I've only been spoiled by what people have posted on Twitter, and I did spoil myself. So I basically watched the whole match already.
I haven't at all, so.
I just want to bring up, because you've probably already seen it. Oh, yeah, this is another thing. Charlotte got the crap beat out of her, and all of a sudden she's wrestling in the Mixed Match Challenge 20 minutes later. I thought that was really weird. I didn't like the timing of it.
Well, she got everything back in place, so everything was good.
Yeah, she put her actual gear on. She sped back. Anyways, the greatest thing I never knew that I needed in my life was seeing Charlotte Flair try and twerk next to Naomi. That was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my whole life, because not only was Charlotte's immediate face of regret amazing, but Naomi's reaction, flawless, absolutely hilarious. I loved it.
So I guess we are going to be reviewing these.
I just have to say it because that gif is everywhere right now. So I just had to bring it up. It was hilarious. Spoiler alert, you Canadians.
I guess next week we're going to be reviewing these because I'm going to have to watch that.
Oh, yeah, you have to. We're going to talk about it.
Rewind.
I can't believe you haven't seen it on Twitter. It's everywhere.
Pause, rewind, fast forward.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
All right, Mae Young.
Yeah, let's get on.
We're over this madness.
All right.
Mae Young. First match.
Third night of the Mae Young Classic. And
is it already the third night?
It was round episode 3 of round 1.
Oh, okay.
So it's the third night.
Caitlin making her return.
I believe this is the night where we have the nationalities meet up in the first 3 matches and then a super stellar main event.
Yeah. But no, is Mia Canadian? No, she's American.
She's American.
Yeah, she's from Chicago? No. Oh my God, don't quote me on that. I'm so bad at this. Okay. First match.
Anyway, let's
get first match.
First match, Caitlin versus Kavita Devi.
That was the first time I've actually seen Kavita in a match, like a match. I can see why they put her in this match versus Caitlin. I was worried, but Caitlin looked crisp and her intensity, like, and she seemed genuinely happy to be there. And that's what stood out to me. She looks great. I don't know where she's going to go. Well, she's in the next round, so we'll see her again. But I liked it. It got the job done. Kavina's greenness was showing, though, but she did her job well. I have no complaints. It was a good match.
To me, this was about as close to a Big Hoss fight as you have received so far in this first round, with two big, strong individuals going at it. Kavita Devi, this is one of her first matches. Her first one was in the first round of the Mae Young Classic, where she lost to Dakota Kai. Her second one was at WrestleMania in that Battle Royal.
I always keep forgetting about that.
And I do believe that she's been on the house circuit with NXT lately.
She just hasn't been on like NXT TV, right?
Yeah, a lot of wrestlers haven't been put on NXT TV because of the Mae Young Classics.
Yeah.
This match here, Caitlyn just had to prove that she was still at a competitive level, and she did.
Oh, she's the first thing I said, I think, when the match was done, was that she looked better now than she did in her initial run in WWE. She looked so good.
Well, the biggest thing is she looked a lot more relaxed. And
just sure of herself.
She looked like she was in there with AJ. Because all her matches with AJ were really good, really confident, really, really straightforward, and basically IDGAF is how she acted in there.
Yeah, she kind of had the whole what's the worst thing that could happen type vibe going on, I think.
She had
the confidence. Like, you could see it. She was, the second she walked out, I could see the confidence that she had, that she was, like I said, she was happy to be there. She's like, Kate, we're going to do this. Let's do it.
The only other thing we mentioned, they used generic music for Caitlyn.
Yeah, I was confused. I thought that she would have her old music, but I think you mentioned this, that she's a completely different person than she was in her first run with WWE. So I could see why they wouldn't use it. But she
used to be a very bubbly personality where
she's hardened by the world now.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that's the best
She's hardened by the world. She's not a baby anymore. She's a vet. And is that weird to say that she's like kind of a vet? Especially in this match, she's a vet.
Well, what did you think of that spear by Caitlyn to finish it?
I got the job done. Yeah. That's all I got to say.
It was very solid. That's the best way to put it.
She was crisp the whole match. Like, her shots and her takedowns, they were really good. So she looked, like you said, very sure of herself.
But speaking of crisp, I love how we throw segues in here.
Speaking of crisp.
The next matchup were two wrestlers that I do believe have worked a tremendous number of times against each other in Toni Storm and Ginny.
Yep. Now, go on. You give your thoughts first.
Well, Toni Storm has been on the UK scene for so long here and such a fixture. And she had a hell of a run in last year's Mae Young Classic, eventually losing to the winner, Kairi Sane. Ginny, while she is a newcomer to the WWE world, she is a fixture in the NXT UK brand as well as UK promotions in general. These two, you could tell they have worked a lot together.
Oh, they had chemistry. I loved it.
It was a beautiful story, and I believe it was only 10 minutes, but it felt a lot longer. And how long these two went at it. Everything was just so smooth. And then Toni Storm hits that Storm Zero, the version of the sit-down Tiger Driver, or Batista Bomb, whichever way you want to call it.
Which kind of flips her, so...
Yeah.
I guess a version of it, but hers... I just want to talk about Ginny first, because everybody knows I love Toni, but Ginny, that's the first time I've ever seen her compete. I wasn't sure how I felt about her at first, just judging by the way she handled herself on the way to the ring. And I'm like, okay, this girl's got, she's got cockiness. She's cocky, you know, whatever. Like, love the vibe she's thrown out. But man, that girl can sell her ass off. Whew. She made everything Toni threw at her. Like, she made it look so devastating. And I know Tony's solid, but Ginny won me over with how well she took those moves. She was good. I want to see more of her. I want to see more against, like, I hate using the word worthy competitors, but against good wrestlers like Toni, you know, like more of that. I want to see it. Toni was great as usual. Can't wait to see her next round. But Ginny, like I said, because I've never seen her wrestle before, she caught my eye and I want to see her wrestle more.
Well, all I can say is I know that Ginny is part of the NXT UK brand, so she is going to have some deadly good matches there. And yeah. When it comes to Toni Storm, I've seen the bracket, and I know who I want her to face next round.
yes.
But we'll talk about that next week, hopefully.
Yes, so. It's happening next week.
Anything else on this matchup here?
It was solid. I have, honestly, just, it was a good wrestling match. The chemistry was there, and I love that. I love it. Like, I've never seen a match with them, obviously, because I said I've never seen Ginny wrestle. But you told me they've worked together tons on the UK scene.
I've seen them both work in progress at ICW. And
yeah, so they know each other, but, like, still, it seemed like they just, I don't know, I loved the flow they had. So, like I said, no complaints. It was a good match.
So from there, you want to talk about two people that flowed well together. It was the lady from Chinatown versus the lady from China, which you couldn't stop laughing about.
I know. I literally, when they announced her from Chinatown, New York, I looked at you and I'm like, did they just say Chinatown? That is hilarious. But I've never seen either of them wrestle before.
Go on. Kara Q and Xia Li.
Yes.
Who Xia Li is the first ever Chinese signee to a WWE contract.
Yeah, she was badass. Actually, they were both badass. I don't know who came up. Obviously, we'll probably never know who came up with the beginning of that match. But when they faced off and did their little, I don't even know what it's called because I don't know martial arts well.
Instead of doing the traditional handshake, they did the bowing to each other like you would do in a typical martial arts fight.
And I liked that they didn't lock up. They just immediately started throwing hands and feet. They
didn't lock up immediately, and that's where they got the biggest pop.
Oh, yeah, because they didn't lock up.
They both went into their martial arts poses.
And just went.
So basically, it looked like a karate fight to start off rather than...
When they did that, the crowd got on their feet, and I got goosebumps. It was so cool. I loved it. I'm glad. I don't know who came up with that. But that was such a good choice, especially because they highlighted both of their martial arts backgrounds in China and then in Chinatown. they highlighted them in those packages they show. So I really like that they did that because it garnered attention. And honestly, it set the tone for the entire match. I loved it. It was so good.
Well, a lot of people know that Karen Q is actually part of the Ring of Honor women's roster. Or she has been for a very long time here. And the one thing I noticed throughout this match is both girls aren't built stealthily, I think is the
solid.
They're both solid.
Yeah.
But the kicks they were throwing out there were like they were two ninjas out there.
It was so cool. Like, just so different. And two of the same type of style in one match. You don't see it often in women's wrestling. I loved it.
There was one kick that Xia hit. It was basically a somersault spinning kick to the back of the head.
Her finish?
No, I believe it was during... Actually, yeah, it was the finish.
It was almost like, yeah, I don't even know what to call it because I've never seen it before in that way.
Basically, it was a spinning somersault kick to the back of the head.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was different. Never seen it before. Loved it.
Between that and seeing Xia hit, she went for a roundhouse kick with the front leg. Karen dodged that one. Immediately goes in for the back heel kick with the other leg and connects right on the button.
It was good.
Just a fantastic match between two, what I would say, martial artists would be the best way to put it.
It was... I just can't get over the crowd reaction. Like, the crowd was so into it. And I loved it. I loved seeing that because it was different. Like, I've never seen a match structured like that / wrestled like that. It was so good. And like I said, I'm going to say it again. The crowd was so into it. Loved it. And they appreciated it. The crowd appreciated it. And I like seeing a crowd that not only, like I said, is into it, but appreciates something like that and the psychology they put into it. Oh, so good. I'm going to cry. I'm tearing up.
Well... Speaking of tearing up, once again, segue here. We got two frenemies going at it in the main event. And my God, what a main event it was.
It was good. How long? Do you know what the time was for it?
I think it was just under the 15-minute mark.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was definitely longer than 10.
That's one thing I wanted to bring up. This is the first match that they actually announced 15-minute time limits.
They said it during Caitlin's. That was when we noticed it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they started saying, oh, with a 15-minute time limit, which was odd. But maybe they're starting to do that because they're getting to like the next round. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, you would think if you said in the first match of the tournament, you would say it throughout the whole thing, but
I feel like they started saying it last show, but I don't remember. But regardless, yeah, I think they were under 15, but it was probably the longest match so far of the tournament, I think, for sure. Yeah,
I would say it was pretty close. You had Mia Yim and I'm going to call her AK-47.
I was waiting for some. Why didn't they mention that? I'm bummed.
Well, they're not going to mention a gun on
TV. Oh, yeah. That's so okay. I didn't think about it that way. I just keep, whenever I think of AK-47, I think of her finisher.
Well, that, so that's why we don't, that's why they wouldn't mention her finisher the way that
TNA would.
Well, the way TNA would, why anybody other promotion would. Because you don't, when she's known as AK-47 and her finisher is known as a silencer. That,
yeah,
that
okay. Just, we'll just move right past that. Allison Kay.
Allison Kay, absolute badass. I so really good. Wonder why she would name a women's finisher the Big D.
I think because she's Allison Kay and yeah. Because she can. She can, Mike. That's why she did it.
Yeah, that's one thing about Allison Kay. She
gives no Fs.
Literally.
I love it.
Her facials throughout that match were absolutely
on
extraordinary.
Point, yes.
When she's telling off the referee, she looks like her face is getting all pissed off and
when
mangled.
When she yelled at him that he hesitated, that's when I lost it. You hesitated, ref, you hesitated. When she hit her Big D or whatever she calls it on Mia, slow count. No, wait, hesitated count, sorry. Hesitated. It was so good. She was great. We were talking about it during the match or after the match, that she was a very, very, very last minute addition. Like what, a few days before it started?
I think it literally was 2 days before.
And that's when she was announced. And I gotta say, I loved this match. And I was, because they gave him such a long time for her and Mia, that I don't know, I was shocked because they announced her so late that they gave her and Mia that long of a match. But at the same time, like, she made Mia look good. She got her to the next round.
Absolutely. Mia ends up winning it with a soul food from the top rope.
Yeah, it was good. No,
either that or an eat defeat, whatever you want to call it. Basically, it's a foot upside the jaw falling down onto where the victorious wrestler is falling down onto their back. Mia Yim moves on, and you could still see Allison Kay was just pissed even after the raising of the hand.
It was good. Those two, I want to watch them wrestle all the time.
I want to see a best of seven out of them.
Yeah, I would not be against that at all.
But now, getting outside of WWE, Allison Kay is the new Shine champion. So that could be interesting to see who she gets as a challenger coming up.
Anybody.
She's had some hella battles there as well. So
I really like, I just want to bring it up because when I notice a really good match and it's like very well psychologically wrestled, I have to bring it up. This match was one. I mean, even before Mia chopped the ring post, it was so good. And then that happened and I'm like, oh God, that was good. Like, I just credit, kudos. They did such a good job. And I loved it.
And they didn't forget about it. That's the thing throughout the
match.
Yeah. Because there was a part of the match where Mia Yim goes for a triangle on Allison Kay, but she couldn't fully hook it because she couldn't grab her hand fully. And then after the match, even when they were doing the whole raising the arm thing, she's still selling the hand throughout that.
She's so good.
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff separates, like, I don't want to say the girls from the women, but yeah, that's what separates that. Like, that's just what puts you on a different level in wrestling, is that attention to detail. And there's not a lot of women on the main roster that can do that. Mia Yim and Sienna. Sorry, I keep wanting to call her Sienna. Allison Kay. Sienna, their attention to detail was top tier. Absolutely. In such a simple, like, I don't even want to call it simple because it didn't seem simple. But in a match like in this tournament, ugh, so good.
Absolutely. It was a fantastic way to end show three. So
I'm just bummed that it was first round.
Well, there, how many of these matches have we said that about so far?
At least half of them.
I think once we're done here, we're going to have to re-bracket everything and just come up with what bracket we would have had for it.
I don't think I would have chosen any different in this match, though, for the outcome, I mean. But yeah, re-bracketing for everything, yeah. But then all my biases would be showing and...
Oh, that's what re-bracketing is all about.
Well, we talked about our dream brackets before, but at least Tony made it through. In this match, I didn't have a preference. I just knew this match would be great. I didn't care who won, so...
Well, look at what we're going to have next round. We got Mia Yim taking on Caitlin.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued. I don't know how that'll go. It'll go well, but I just don't know what to expect.
Then you want to talk about a clash in styles. You got Xia Li taking on Deonna Purrazzo.
I think that'll be really interesting. Well, Deonna has done her Japan circuit, so I think that it'll be fine. I think it'll be great. She knows the Asian style, Japan style, whatever.
Well, China style and Japan style might be a little bit different there, but...
Well, certain similarities. It's kind of like Mexican style, but there's always differences. Even in Canada, there's tons of differences between the rest of the world, so...
Fair enough. Anything else you want to talk about episode three?
No, I thought this episode was probably the best, I think, so far. Well, maybe episode one was really good. It's close. But in terms of, like, match quality, I think this one was there.
This one really picked it up from last week. There were four really solid matches on this episode.
Yeah, there was no weak match. No, that's for not sure. At all. It was really good. Yeah, no but complaints. I'm happy.
But then next week, we have another one of the tournament favorites. Io Shirai is going to be in action.
Then, of course,
my favorite going into it.
No bias, Mike. No. Tons of bias in the world. We're talking about bias all day today.
How many pictures up on the BBM World Headquarters wall of Rachel Evers do we have here? I
don't even know. Quite a few. Hey, Rachel. She's wrestle me.
She's only looked at the front hallways of the BBM Network headquarters here. She's got to go take a look at the bowels of it, too, to see where the other ones are, but... Rachel Evers is going to be on that episode. How does this work out?
Okay.
I don't break things down normally like this, but how does, you know, my favorite wrestler wrestle on my 40th birthday on the Mae Young Classic? How does that work?
You know, Mike.
Something's lining up here.
How was my first ever match on Canada Day? I'm Canadian.
All of Canada loves you. That's why.
Boom. It's meant to be. That's why. Who would have thunk, though, hey? Rachel wrestling on your birthday? But you're going to be a two-turnt to watch that match live. Or are you going to stream it on your phone as it's happening?
Well, I probably will stream it on my phone, but I will
Mike
also...
will be, like, bathroom break, and he'll never come back, and we're worried, and he's just sitting there, like,
oh no, streaming. Trust me, the bar might actually have it on the TV.
Oh, like, snap. Okay, yeah, you gotta ask that then.
It's good to have a manager who's a wrestler that is there. But
what a guy.
You know what? Let's not worry about that next week.
Yep.
Let's worry about where, you know... Your twin sister's going to be this weekend.
Twin? Oh, yeah.
Well, she, not that I've actually seen her face, and I don't know if I really
I don't know who
to.
She is either. She's pretty weird.
I've heard she's got a really disgusting face, so I just...
Yeah, word on the street.
Yeah. Anyway, where is Envy going to be this weekend?
Envy will be in Calgary on Friday for RCW, the RCW show in Calgary at the Legion downtown.
RCW Retaliation.
Yes, there we go. Bell time, 7:45. Doors open 7, I believe. She will be there. She is booked to wrestle the Angelica.
Well, I know that there's some talk about maybe, you know.
Yeah, there might be a wrench thrown into that situation.
I'm always TBD. Trying to throw, as long as I can keep Envy like 300 kilometers away from me, I'm always trying to find
yeah,
some way to
throw
wrenches.
Yeah, she's pretty far away from you.
Thank God.
No, she'll be facing Angelica, which is super interesting because she hasn't wrestled Angelica one-on-one in a very long time or ever.
She could be the shortest reigning RCW Women's Champion in history.
Well, why did you have to say that? She's crying on the inside. If she were here, she'd be crying on the inside.
Well, it's just a possibility. Sorry.
No, she's going to retain. That's fine. She has to.
But then on the next night.
Yeah, then I travel. I travel as well because I will be there. KJ's going to be there. Envy's supposed to also wrestle on Saturday for CWC. Shattered, correct?
Shattered.
Shattered. Bell time is 6:30. She will be facing off against Cherry Doll, Angelica.
And then somebody, we don't have a clue who it is.
Yeah, some mystery girl from God knows where in the world. Who knows? There's a lot of women's wrestlers in the world.
Bob Gordon's coming up with a lot of crazy things lately.
He snapped. Did you see that video CWC posted? He snapped. I have never seen him like that before.
He snapped on Cherry Doll. He's decided to put Jude Dawkins and Chris Parrish back together again.
I think someone stole his pen. And that's why he's a little, like, upset in life. So he's taking it out on everybody else.
If everybody got that pissed off over a pin, I'd be a little scared.
I'm just going to throw it out there. The commish and I, we don't get along that well because I like to steal his pens and forget to give them back. So I'm going to say it might be my fault, but that's okay. I'm not a big fan of Cherry, so that's okay.
Fair enough. But then also, I'm going to give a quick plug out here. It is Pure Power Wrestling's 100th show that's going to be coming up for the German Canadian Club on September 29th as a special edition. I'm going to be heading down to do the call of the matches. I do believe I get the Bulldog McBain and his ever-loving brother, cousin. I don't know. I've been told I get two other guys working with me, so I might have to put my ref hat on again the way you and Xander decided to act at the last CWC show.
Okay, Gravy Train is such a hater. I don't get what I ever did to him. I don't know. Maybe my abs look better. I think that's it.
That's by default.
Well, I mean, you know, Gravy Train, KJ. You can tell who has better abs already from the names. I heard there might be a special guest there as well, hey? To be announced.
I'm glad she's got more info than I do. But,
yeah. We'll cough.
We'll see what happens, but I think that's going to wrap up the show, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we have nothing really else to talk about. It was an overall positive night.
And we're at an hour and a half, which is not that bad.
Yeah, with all that stuff we had to talk about.
Yeah.
All that Becky praise we had to throw in.
So next week, we're not going to have a pay-per-view, so we'll just have the WWE, and then we'll probably have the first round of the Mixed Match Challenge, and then...
Yeah, who knows what day we're recording next week. We might actually have to review two shows.
I got a feeling we'll probably do this Thursday night, so maybe we'll...
Yeah, probably, yeah, because we'll won't be able to do it Wednesday.
Well, I could, but that might
we're
not
We're not going to do it Wednesday.
that might not be a beautiful situation.
Mike is getting turnt for his birthday in a week from now, so we can't record.
I'm not doing anything of the sort.
What are you talking about?
Whatever.
He's throwing a party on a Wednesday. You can know already how well that's going to go.
I'm not throwing anything.
Fine. He's saying, hey, we're doing this. Show up. That's getting turnt. That's throwing a party.
Okay.
Mike's getting way too excited. He's going to be drunker than I am on my birthday.
Yeah, but you take a thimble of beer and you're drunk.
I have
already.
Like no body weight, so
that's what I mean.
And I'm not a lightweight; it just hits me faster. Does that make me a lightweight?
Before I start hitting her faster.
Anybody that's in Edmonton, come out for Mike's birthday next Wednesday, which will be what day is that?
Anyway, do you want to put yourself over instead right now? So if anybody wants to get a hold of you.
The 26th. Come on the 26th, right?
Do you want to put yourself over with your own stuff?
Come drink. Yes, sorry. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Kayla Jamies. Message me if you're from another country, because I want to say I have a friend from another country. That's not a North American country.
And if you want supposed party details, you can contact her as well. So
yeah, I probably won't be there because I have other work to do. I'm a party pooper.
She's such a liar.
We'll see. I'll be there late, so you might be able to see me. Come party with me. Ski ball. Mike, would you like to plug your stuff?
Well,
including your birthday party.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say is the fact that KJ's already making excuses about why she's losing at Mario Kart, but I digress at this point. You can get a hold of me on Instagram, MikeTheRefEDM for Edmonton, not the music type.
Boom, 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 boom.
On Twitter, at MikeTheRef. Get a hold of us on Facebook, facebook.com/BackbreakerMedia. Other than that, if you're listening to this podcast, check out the show notes, and everything will be there for you. So, anything else you want to throw in, KJ?
No, I think I said it all. Cue the cheesy outro.
Well, folks, just remember, if you're going to have a false finish, make sure you have a double down. And this is the Double Down Wrestling Podcast here on Backbreaker Media.
Boom. Play my music.